Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2026, 11 coming up on 12 minutes past the hour. By the way, it is Earth Day 2026. How about that? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And we thank Casey Putch, candidate in the Republican primary for governor, for joining us in hour number one for a frank discussion about everything that has went on in the last week. And heaven knows, as we're getting closer to this gubernatorial primary on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, a lot has been going on. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind this morning, please feel free to call in. We're always interested to hear from you out there in the listening audience. Well, what is going on this week? City Council met on Monday. We talked about that yesterday. Scott Kreider was on with us describing why the 4th Ward City Councilman did not work out because of his job with ODOT and his party affiliation. Do we know how that's going to turn out? Doesn't seem like we do. But that's out there on the table. We've got the talk of 4-year terms for council, which could possibly end up on the ballot. That's kind of interesting. That's an interesting discussion that people are having right now. So there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world and certainly well worth discussing. All right, and now joining us on the telephone here for a few minutes this morning to promote some things he's got going on today and tonight, as a matter of fact. He's the host of the Adam the Computer Guy show here on WGH Talk, Wednesday and Thursday, 12:15 to 1 p.m., and a big show coming up today at 12:15. Glad to be joined by Adam the Computer Guy. Adam, how are you?
Oh, hello there, weirdos and foodies and TV watchers and all you great voters of all varieties. That might be a clue as to what's coming up later.
Yes,
today.
Well, I think for some people.
And thankfully, the hospital that I should be shown at is fake hospital. You know how much I love the medical profession. Anyway, the increasingly famous D.C. King, the foodie, will be joining me on the air in less than, well, what, goodness sakes, like my time zone's all messed up. What's it? It's 9:15. So in about 3 hours or so, discussing his restaurant review review series of events. He's been to pretty much every restaurant in Marion and reviewed online, kind of how he got started, his philosophies, and just his main thoughts about staying weird, being yourself, not being afraid to be different, and certainly he and I align very well with that. If you follow him, Scott, I get the feeling you do, even if you don't admit to it. I guess he was doing some stuff with the Rotary, and our school superintendent, Brian, was even posting. There's a picture of Brian Murphy with D.C. the Foodie. Did you see that photo, Scott? It was posted about a couple
you
hours
know, I,
ago.
Brian posted it. I do follow Brian, so yes, I did see it, yes.
So a picture of D.C. the Foodie, again, who is taller than he looks when he's sitting down. I guess Brian, you know, Brian's a pretty big guy, right? Isn't he the guy that won the fruitcake toss like 5 years in a row?
So. 2 years in a row.
Okay, so they're both they're both fairly tall, because I guess DC is 6 feet, but people always think he's a little shorter because he's usually sitting down at a restaurant. But it's interesting seeing DC with his hat and his tattoos next to Brian dressed up in a suit. So sometimes people who might seem a little different actually have a lot in common. I mean, they both do love the area and have done much for it. So. Good to see them together and promoting what they both do for the community. And do hear my speech, hear me speak with D.C. the Foodie in less than 3 hours. It'll certainly be radio worth listening to. And then this evening, and again, Scott, I can only tell you what might happen because nobody, even the stars, don't even know. I know you talked about, you brought up Steven Weber a couple weeks ago. He's one of the stars of Chicago Med. He was on Wings. He's been in Hollywood for, of course, this isn't Hollywood, but it's close. He's been on the TV screen for years and years and years. And I've also brought up Essa Paetha, whom you claim not to have heard of, but of course you have. And she was on Law and Order for 15 years. And
you know, I swear I've never, I may have seen her, but I have never heard that name in my life until you said it.
Right, and she was on an episode of Frasier, which is, of course, one of my favorite shows, and a bunch of other programs. But, and again, I'm only 99% sure that I'm right, but I am pretty sure, again, 99% is pretty good. But this is episode 18. That's one of the two episodes where I worked pretty much every day, episode 18 and 20. And so I will be an extra. You might see me one time, you might see me 30 times, you might see the back of my head, you might see my ear, you might see my face. You never quite know. I do know there are a couple scenes where I was very close to the stars, and when you are in a scene where you cross a path with a star, I mean, within breathing distance, you're going to be seen. That's kind of how I knew that elevator scene would be on there, but you never quite know till you do see it. So, folks, please do listen, and watch Channel 4 in Columbus or whatever your local NBC affiliate is. Eastern time, 8 to 9, that is the big event. That's when Chicago Med is on, episode 18, and yours truly, who again, I worked, I think, 7-8 days, and some of these days were 12, 14 hours. But it's okay, they feed us well, so I didn't mind. I'm a foodie and weirdo myself, so DC and I have quite a bit in common also.
Well, that's all good.
You will see my smiling face, or maybe, you know, other parts of me. And it'd be a good program, even if you don't want to see my face. Even if my face isn't seen, they cut the scenes out. I mean, you never really know. It'll still be a good show, so please do watch. And also, Chicago PD is on at 10. I will be on that episode also, episode 18. I won't be as visible. It was one day of filming, and there were quite a bit more extras that were on that day. But again, it's possible. I know one scene I walked right past a couple of the female police officers on this scene that was filmed at a remote location in the city. And who knows, you might see me, might see me for a few seconds, and they might have cut the whole thing out, or I might be kind of a shadow in the background. Never quite know. So it'll be kind of exciting. And again, it'll be a good episode. So watch, even if you don't want to see me, even if you don't like me, that's okay. Watch the program anyway. And then again, in two shows following, I'll be on that. In fact, I should actually be more on that show more than I'll be on today, because we filmed Longer Days, and it's also a really good episode. And of course, as the show gets ready to conclude for the season, that'll be the next to last episode. Sometimes they give you these cliffhangers. So do watch the program if anybody isn't sure about when to watch it, what channel, etc. Because sometimes I ramble on, as you know. Just send me a message. You know, my phone number is given at the top of the hour with my assorted advertisements, or send a message to the station, and I will provide that information. And you might be interested in knowing, Scott, that DC the Foodie watches Chicago Med. I mentioned that to him after we did our interview, and he watches the program. I guess he's kind of catching up on it. On Peacock, the NBC streaming, but I did instruct him, please, to watch this evening, and you might see somebody you know. So he watches the program, and I was quite impressed, because it kind of seemed like nobody in Marion watches the show, whereas, again, 6.1 million is a typical viewership per week, and that's more than twice the population of the city of Chicago. So people obviously do watch it, and I'm glad to hear that. DC again, it was he's 30. We went over that too. I wasn't sure how old the guy was. He's a young man, and so it's good to see people of all ages watching the program, and otherwise doing things that are fulfilling in this great life of ours. He had not heard of the station either, but of course now he has. So I get the feeling DC will become a fixture of sorts. He's definitely into that kind of stuff. But it's a good interview, and folks, definitely, definitely do listen. It'll be worthwhile. As I say, your brain cells, your ears, and of course, most importantly, your funny bone will thank you.
All right, DC the Foodie today at 12:15 on this station with Adam, and then tonight Channel 4, NBC, ding ding dong, 8 and 10 p.m.
NBC, proud as a peacock, and a lot of good stuff.
All right.
And so, the Casey Putch interview, I listened to that, and the guy tells it like it is. I really do respect that. I mean, the controversial stuff, he kind of skirted the question, but sort of said, we got bigger fish to fry. And he's right. Discrimination takes place all the time. Discrimination goes in all directions. DEI would be an example of discrimination.
Well, here, Adam, I think is the problem that people are going to have with that interview, is that, yes, discrimination happens all the time. Yes, anti-Semitism happens all the time. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about it on this show many times. The problem is that when you're asked personally, do you denounce anti-Semitism, do you denounce racism, and you say, no, you won't, is the reason you're giving good enough?
Yeah, I mean, he did skirt the question a little bit. Kind of hard to say. I mean, I do like how he tells it like it is, and I'd rather have that than someone who just evades every possible thing that you ask. And again, anything to me is better than Amy Acton. She did close down businesses. You know, don't get me started on this.
All right, we don't want to get into Amy Acton this morning.
I know she didn't formally do it, but she recommended to our governor, and he rubber stamped it, which to me is, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing.
Okay.
He put that decision in her hands.
All right.
But I do think she's going to win.
There's the official prediction.
It's hard to say. I would like to think there would be candidates that I would find to be appealing. I do like Cordray. He's a very moderate Democrat, very smart. You know, you got to love someone who won on Jeopardy. But he didn't win, and DeWine won, and of course that was pre-COVID. And although I don't like a lot of his politics, and we're talking about his conservative politics, like abortion, which seemed to be a high priority for him initially, he was experienced, certainly. And I mean, not the most well-spoken guy out there, but certainly he knows the state. He's been a professional politician. And, you know, kind of like Joe Biden, he started young, and now he's older, but still around. But that's water under the bridge. I guess Putch is certainly optimistic about how well he'll do, but I tend to agree with you that if he gets 10%, I'll be impressed.
Well, we'll find out. 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away.
He could win the traditionally very conservative counties, such as Morrow. I would hardly be surprised if he wins Morrow County. So, you know, bottom line, Scott, I agree with you almost completely on this assessment.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, and I think not saying you're an anti-Semitic person, not saying that you are a racist person, we'll see how that plays in the state on May the 5th.
It'll certainly, as he says, it'll give the Reddit users and social media something to talk about, and they always enjoy doing that, don't they?
They certainly do.
Well, that's all I had for you, Scott. Well, thank you for letting me babble on, and you have a wonderful show, and I'm turning my virtual listening device back on.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Bye-bye.
Take care,
Bob. All right. Don't forget, on the Adam the Computer Guy show today at 12:15, DC the Foodie will be the guest. And tonight, you can possibly catch Adam as an extra on the Chicago NBC shows at 8 and 10 p.m. Ding, ding, dong. NBC. Joining us live in studio this morning, Bob Welsh made the trip in from Columbus, Ohio, because it's Earth Day, and he also wanted to update our history of the groundhog here, photo on the wall here at WGH Talk. Bob, it's Earth Day. How are you?
Very good, but I have one burning question.
Oh, go ahead.
If we don't know what Adam looks like, how are we known we see him?
Oh, you've seen Adam, haven't you?
I don't think I have.
Oh, go to the website.
Oh, maybe at one of the fruitcake tosses.
Yes, he was at one of them,
maybe. He won a prize.
Yeah, he certainly did. Google him, he'll pop up.
All right.
All right, so what's new, Bob?
Happy Earth Day. Well, I wanted to update the groundhog photo collage that we have going here. And then I also, for as long as I'm here, I might clear up some misconceptions.
Oh, boy. Are we back on the tip thing?
What else do you got to talk about?
Oh, well, I'm glad you came to the studio to have this conversation because, boy, this has gotten as nasty as a political feud. So let's just get in. By the way, this all started because on tax day, I was talking about how I have learned by seeing people do their taxes this year, first time it's happened, that the first $25,000 of tips that people collect are untaxed now, and the first $25,000 of overtime are untaxed. And how I know somebody who makes nearly $90,000 a year almost doubled their income tax return just simply because of the overtime issue. And then I got to thinking about the tip issue working in a restaurant when I was in high school and college, and I thought, well, I understand that to a certain degree, but I don't understand why we tip the people we do tip. Because people who work in a pizza business, now those are people we typically tip, and also hair salons, and it's even on the receipt. And the thing about that is those people make more than minimum wage, and pizza drivers that make at least, and I think in some cases make more than minimum wage. So why are they getting untaxed tips? I don't think that's fair when you have the person cooking the pizza or the manager of the pizza place not having any untaxed income simply because they're not making their money in tips. So that was the original argument.
Well, and that's how I got involved, because you made the statement that pizza drivers are getting rich off of this.
I think they're doing
very well.
Very, very well.
Very, very well, yes. And
I
called in to say, no, that's not the case. They're not doing that well. And to clear up a misconception, I am not in favor of tax-free tips.
Oh, you don't like it?
No. I've said that from
because you know they're getting rich.
Well, no, because why carve out one set of income to be tax-free? You know, when there are many other streams of income that should be. If you want to change the tax code to help the poor, the working poor, then raise the threshold of the tax limit itself. Don't just carve out a certain stream that affects your intended block of voters.
But a very small amount of people.
Not a very small amount of people.
People who work on tips, I don't think that's the majority.
That's not a small amount of people, though. It's not the majority of the people, but it's not a small amount of people either.
Well, like I was thinking,
when you get into the lower thresholds of income earners, it is a greater percentage of people.
Well, what I'm saying is if you go up and down 95 here in Marion, you're going to see more fast food places, you're going to see more takeout places, you're going to see more places where you don't have a server, where there isn't a tip involved, far more than you are where there is a tip involved. So I don't think it's impacting the great majority of people.
Was it supposed to? It's supposed to impact
voters, I guess.
It was supposed to impact the people earning tips or receiving tips. And, to clear up some misconceptions, back in my day when I, was a pizza shop manager in Marion, we did not take credit cards, and we did not take people's tips.
Apparently that's illegal, we've learned.
It is, and yeah. Anybody who insinuates that I was taking people's tips is speaking from a cold, cold heart.
Well, no, you did. Oh, no, let's
I,
not. Let's,
I never said that I took anybody's tips.
Oh, let's not Heather Hill moats this thing.
Oh, but, no, well, it's going to come up.
No,
you and I got into a discussion, and you did the calculations that a pizza driver nowadays might make $2,400 a month gross income.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that might be low end.
And then I got in a discussion with you. Well, that's not a living wage. Because if you spend one third of your income on housing, that's $800 for rent. Can you get a decent place to live, or any place to live, for $800 a month?
If you're single.
If you're single, you can.
But if you have somebody else in your household, typically in this day and age, they have a job too.
Maybe. You
okay.
Hope.
Well, most couples both do work, and the only reason one would not work is because they can afford for that person not to work.
But can you? But we got into discussion. Can you get a decent place to live for $800 a month?
Probably.
You can?
I don't know.
You said you probably can't in Columbus, but you could in Marion.
And I think that's right.
And I said, well, you have an authority who calls up, who is a landlord who has many properties, and frequently discusses paying taxes on those many properties. Ask this authority if you can find a decent place to live for $800 a month. That's all I said.
Okay.
I'm saying I did not bring in anything else. I just
no.
said you have an authority who can answer that question.
All
for
right.
You.
But I think going back to the tip conversation
okay.
is okay. Now, So you cannot pull tips legally.
If the credit card receipt has a server identified, you know, Jane, John, whoever, those tips go to that individual, and I do not dispute that.
Right.
If the receipt says something different, server, you know, to a, you know, to something other than a named individual, like this receipt here.
Okay, what does this say?
Who does this server? Who is this server?
Quick service.
Right there by the dot there.
By the dot? Oh, up here. Okay. Day cashier.
Now, who was that day? Who was that? That means...
Well, it's got the date, right?
That means that tip is going to a pool of people, not to an individual. And that was my point, is that a lot of times on these receipts, if it's not directed to an individual, it's going to a pool.
Right, but is this a place that tips?
Yes, this is a place that tips.
Okay, so this did not go to
an individual. It went to a pool of people. And what I was saying is that look at your receipts. If you think you're tipping an individual person and it doesn't say so on the receipt, it's going to a pool of people. That may include your intended, you know, tippee, but it does not necessarily go to that person. And so these tips would be taxable. They would go among, you know, the five or six people might be working in the shop at that time, including the driver or the server. But that doesn't mean it's going to get all of it. And that was my point, is that when it goes to a pool of people, it goes to an unidentified group, you know, that you don't know about, and that may or may not include the manager who is, you know, the shift manager who is working and maybe doing most of the work, you know, involved in getting that pizza to you.
Right. But as Sean said yesterday, who orders a lot of pizza, favorite food, he said he pays with the credit card a lot.
Yes.
And he fully expects that to go to the person who he's
next time he orders delivering pizza. Have him look at the receipt and see who it's going to.
Yeah, but I guess when the pizza driver comes to my door and I tip them in cash, they've got the little baggie there and they're ready to go and make change and all of that.
And they're putting that cash in their pocket and I fully support that.
Right, but my point is that why would a pizza driver, if that truly is the system, that if you tip on the credit card, it goes into a pool, and if you tip in cash, I get it all.
No. What? You didn't get the whole concept.
Okay, go ahead.
If you tip on a credit card and the server is identified by name, it goes to that server. That
but how do you know?
You look at your receipt. That's
you don't get your receipt till after you pay.
There you go.
Right.
And there
so
you
how
go.
Do I know?
You don't know.
Right, that's my point.
That's my point as well, is that you don't know who that tip is going to.
Right, but that's my...
You assume it's going to the driver because...
Exactly, but that's deceiving.
Is that America?
I don't know, but that's deceiving.
Is that the business that we're in? Yes.
Do I need to ask my server, do you get your tips before I go up and pay the bill?
If the server's name is on that receipt, then yes.
But I wouldn't know that until I paid.
You wouldn't know that, but well, you would look at that because they give you the receipt, and you know, here's your bill, Mr. Spears. You know, here's $25 suggested tip, $5, and you look at the receipt and says, "Oh, the server is Janet. Janet is going to get whatever tip you put down there."
Right.
If the server says frontline cashier, it's going to a pool.
But the pizza person, you've already tipped usually. Sometimes before the bill even comes to you.
Now I'm going to let you in on a secret.
What's
here,
that?
And I'm going to name names.
Oh, go Lord!
There is a large pizza chain in Columbus who, in times of high volume or even low volume, outsource their pizza deliveries to a DoorDash company.
Oh.
And so you put down. You say you order a pizza, and you say put down $5 for the driver. And that pizza, then that order, then outsourced to a DoorDash. You think that driver's going to know anything about your conversation with the company?
No, but
you
that's deceitful.
Maybe. But a lot of times, you know, when you call up, you said, and they might ask you, all right, you know, your order comes to $35. Would you like to give a staff tip? And you might think, oh, that staff tip is going to the driver. No, they didn't say driver, a staff tip.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is tip in cash.
Tip in cash, and the driver will pocket the money, and it'll be tax-free no matter what the administration says.
Because I think that's where people think it's going anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the other question is the hair salons.
And this is Apple, and that's an Orange. The hair salon, as your caller pointed out yesterday, is a totally different business. When you get your hair styled, who is responsible for getting a quality job?
The person cutting the hair.
And when you get a pizza, who is responsible for getting you a quality pizza?
Well, I think a lot of people.
Yes, a lot of people. And so a lot of people are involved in getting you a quality pizza.
Right.
The person taking the order, making sure they got it down right, from the person making it.
Right.
Making sure the ingredients are properly proportioned, from the person baking it, from the person delivering it. There's a group of people involved in getting you a quality pizza.
Right, but the difference is that if a pizza business gets a really good cook, then they are going to pay them more than minimum wage.
Maybe
I know
not.
That if they get a really good person who can take orders and get it done fast, they're going to pay them more than minimum wage. The drivers are going to be baseline for the most part because they are working off tips. And also, I know that...
They're getting paid as well.
But I haven't eaten the pizza when I'm tipping. So I can't say that the person who cooked it did a good job. And the person who took the order, there's not a whole lot to that.
But the fact that you're a repeat customer means that you're expecting a good,
Right, but what I, the service that I'm tipping for is that you got it to my door, that I didn't have to go out, and it cost you gas to get over here. It didn't cost anybody else in that pizza place gas to get over here. And that you found my house, maybe on a cold, dark day in the Midwest. That's what you're tipping for. I don't think you're tipping for the pizza.
But yes, you are, because you're tipping for a quality pizza.
But it could be crap.
It could be. And it could be a crappy haircut, but you're still going to say, all right, I guess.
But you can see the haircut before you tip.
But you still have to pay him.
But you don't have to tip.
You don't have to tip.
Already tipped before you've tasted first slice of that pizza.
But who have you tipped?
I think I'm tipping the driver.
There again, check your receipt.
Okay, now, here's something from a listener out there this morning. My niece works at 7 Brew. They pull tips and they split every evening among everyone except management. They are put on their paycheck and text.
There you go.
Some companies only use DoorDash to deliver. Okay.
There you go.
So what's the big disagreement we're having here on this show the last few days?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just wanted to, state the fact that sometimes when you tip, it doesn't go to the person you think it's going to. And here this company is, this place is sharing it among the non-management staff. That might not be a universal rule with every place you go. You get into a place with only two employees, three employees, and one of them is the shift manager who's doing 75% of the work, and there's a generic tip given. Do you think that shift manager is going to cut himself in for a piece of that or not?
I don't know.
I think so.
Depends on who it is, I think. I know in a restaurant the managers never get cut in on a tip.
In a restaurant, maybe not.
See, here's the difference. Because
is every place is different.
I never worked as a server, but I worked in a restaurant. Now, because I worked as a cashier in the bakery, host is what the title was of that position, I sat people. If they were in a jam, I helped bus a table. I would clean a table with a towel to make sure that the table was clean. I would check these people out. I would take their money, get them in and out quick. I would make sure that they had their high chairs or whatever they needed. I would also upsell them to bakery items.
So you were the face of the company,
yes,
that individual.
But I was never cut in on the tips because I made whatever I made. I did not make server wage.
Bit back in those days, the tip was probably targeted and named to a specific server.
Well, sure it was.
Not to, as it is today, a general staff,
Well, who changed that?
COVID.
Well, I don't like that.
No, most people didn't like COVID.
But I don't know why it would remain a general tipping.
Things are easier to change once and not change back again.
Well, I don't think most people would understand this.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, and that's why I brought it up.
But do you think they would?
I think from the comments that you're getting is that most people don't understand it.
Well, I'm not sure that I understand it fully because I don't know why you would do that.
Because in the situation that you just described of you working and you're non-management, if there are pooled tips, don't you think you should be a part of that pool?
Now, I guess the other day, it's being said that you said the owners were keeping the money.
No, I did not.
Okay, well, so then we've cleared that up.
I said the shift, I didn't use the word shift, the managers on that shift may cut themselves in for a piece of the pool if they're doing 80% of the work on a generic pool, not if it's targeted to a named individual.
Right.
If it's targeted
to a named individual. I understand that.
Well, some people didn't understand that.
Well, I understand that.
Some people
that.
Is targeted to a named individual. That named individual, by law, gets that tip.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
But so why are we tipping the pizza driver and why are we tipping the hair salon when they make more than the server in the restaurant anyway?
And that's one of my general concepts is if you're in charge of setting your own prices, then why should I tip you? And that might be the case with many of the independent hair salon people. You know that they rent a booth. They're independent and they set their own prices. So why should I tip you if you've already cut yourself in for a fair share of the price?
Right, that's the question I think.
And I don't think you should have to tip those people.
Now you brought a gift for Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Get that TH in there. All fired up on this tip thing. By the way, if anybody wants to call in 740-383-9944, what are these? 740-383-9944.
In Columbus, we call these donuts.
No, I know they're donuts, but there are some green donuts in here.
These are lemon blueberry frosted donuts.
Oh, lemon blueberry.
And these are regular blueberry.
Oh, did you bring these as a gift?
Well, I brought them to share among all the staff here.
It's a pooled gift. We have a gift to get tonight. Get together tonight. I could serve these tonight at the get together.
There you go.
Donuts will hold up
there
all day.
There you go. Now, do you think, since you're kind of a management here, that you're allowed to have one of these if it's a pooled gift?
Well, are you going to tip me?
No.
Well, then, no, I can't get involved. As long as you don't, no, I can get involved as long as you don't tip me. No, but are these Earth Day donuts? Because that does not look like a tantalizing donut.
Well, you haven't had, well.
I'm, well.
Have a nibble during the break or something.
Blueberry looks
blueberry.
Good. Chocolate. I'm not a fan of chocolate.
I didn't drink them all chocolate.
But no, the glazed is my favorite.
That's a color.
But these green donuts, now see, that looks like there might be some mold on it.
Well, that's the yellow of the lemon mixing with the blue.
I like lemon.
Green. Yellow and blue make green.
Well, okay. But these are not special Earth Day donuts.
Well, they're here.
Where
on
did
Earth
these
Day.
Come from?
DK Diner in Grandview.
DK Diner. All right.
Speaking of which, I'm going to hit you with a piece of trivia.
I'm going to save these for later, see.
Okay.
We'll pass these out to the people who come
here
in later on.
Here you go.
Because you give people a little jolt of sugar before a show, they'll wake up.
That's right. Or sometimes they'll go to sleep. And you as management are allowed to have one.
Well, I'll have a lemon one.
All right. Here, I'm going to hit you with a piece of trivia that's right down your alley.
All right.
On my drive in today, I went through Mount Airy, Ohio.
Okay.
Now, what famous comedian, he or she, purported to be from Mount Airy, Ohio.
Mount Airy, Ohio?
They would get on the Johnny Carson show and read letters from their kinfolk in Mount Airy. And not the Johnny Carson, maybe it was Bishop back then, but they get on the Tonight Show.
Charlie Weaver.
There you go.
Did I get that?
Very good.
Wow.
And Charlie Weaver, if you'll name it.
I had no notes and I was not Googling.
Well, I tell them the trivia right down your alley.
Well, you know why I know that. I'll tell you. Well, I didn't know that, to be honest. That was a guess. So, good guess on Earth Day. Yeah, here is why that. See, this is what people actually used to have to do with trivia before the Google machine.
Check their memory?
Yeah, check their memory. Or make some kind of inference based on something you do know.
Yes.
What I know is that the most famous comedians from Ohio are probably Phyllis Diller and Jack Parr.
That's the name I was trying to think of.
Jack Parr. So, Jack Parr started Phyllis Diller's mainstream career on when he hosted The Tonight Show prior to Johnny Carson.
Yep.
Well, another one of his Ohio people was Charlie Weaver, who he used to have on a lot.
And his name is?
Hold on. Arquette.
Cliff Arquette.
So, in any event, Phyllis Diller, in an interview, remembering Jack Parr one time, said that Jack Parr had a special place for people from Ohio because he was from Ohio, And he said he thought that we were all like cousins because she used to call me a cousin and send me a Christmas card every year in the mail because she had that same. So, but she would name the Ohio, like Hugh Downs, his announcer was from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Parr was from Ohio. Phyllis Diller was from Ohio. And Charlie Weaver was from Ohio. And they all used to make regular appearances on his show. So that's, I was thinking, well, Hugh Downs is not a comedian. Jack Parr, more or less, is not a comedian. Phyllis Diller is, but I know it's not her because she's from Lima. So it must be Cliff Arquette.
There you go.
Yeah. Charlie Weaver.
Good process of elimination. And he had a book out. I wish I'd bought it at the time. But it was Letters from Mount Airy. And it was all the things that he'd read on the
job. I can't believe I pulled Charlie Weaver out of my head. Because we're going back to the 1950s and 60s here.
I said it was right down your alley, though.
Yeah, you know the best Jack Parr story I ever heard was from Dick Cavett. Because Dick Cavett was a writer on Jack Parr.
And Johnny Carson.
And John, do you remember the comedian Fat Jack Leonard? Who used to come on Jack Parr?
Vaguely. I know who he is.
Well, just a big guy.
Yeah.
And Dick Cavett said the best one-liner he ever heard in his career was Jack Parr was doing his introduction one night, and he introduced Fat Jack Leonard. And Fat Jack Leonard came out on the show, and he was a big guy, obviously, but he was very bombastic. And he said after Jack introduced him, Fat Jack Leonard just sat down and just started going, you know, as some comedians do. But Jack Parr wasn't giving him anything. He wasn't coming in at all. And The Tonight Show was live in those days. And he wasn't saying, he was just looking at him. And he was getting exasperated as the minutes were passing, and he was starting to sweat. And he said he got to a point where he ran through all his material, and he said he just must have blurted out a fact that something to keep the conversation going on television, live television. And Fat Jack Leonard said, "Did you know my wife used to be an acrobat?" And Jack Parr just turned to him and said, "She'd have to be." And that was it. I thought, well, that's a good line.
Speaking of changing the subject here a little bit, looking at the
after that
here,
bit of comedy?
Yeah, after that bit of comedy.
Yeah.
Earlier this month, Jack Kellogg received an award.
Last week?
Yeah.
Last week, early.
And you were there and everything.
I certainly was.
Quite a prestigious award.
Lifetime Achievement Award from the Marion County Republican Party.
But keep in mind, he earlier got an award from the upper crust.
He certainly did. Look at that list. Look at that group.
And it shows you the influence the upper crust society has on society as a whole. You know, is that after we recognize them, others rush to correct the oversight error.
It's quite a list. I'm kind of interested to see who it will be this year. You know, we're getting close. This year is flying right by.
It is.
You know, I have some ideas about who it should be this year, but, you know, last year's a hard year to top because Larry Barnett and Bob Bender, now those were two good choices.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the groundhog again.
Well, that was interesting. That was an interesting appearance. I thought the groundhog was great this year.
Warren Harding, come along. That was great.
Who are the groundhogs now? James Anderson? I think he was right, too, by the way. I think we did have an early spring.
We did. I mean, it was awfully warm back there in late March. We had a lot of warm days above average. I saw a statistic where they're showing the days above average and the days below average. And, you know, for the Columbus-Franklin County region, so I'm assuming Marion might have experienced some of the same thing, but there were only 3 days that were below average.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But now, from one of our other listeners out there this morning, my nephew worked for an upscale restaurant, Lindy's, in German Village.
Yeah.
He shared his tips with the bartender and the people that cleared the tables. They appreciated it and gave him extra care with the tables he waited on. Now, that was his choice, so I think that's okay.
And you don't think the bartenders are raking it in?
Well, I don't know, but some.
All of mine are.
you tip the. Now, how much do you tip the bartender?
25% roughly of the check.
That's pretty good.
In cash as well.
25%.
Cash.
Well, since you're here, and I know you pay attention to the show, what do you make of all the hullabaloo in politics right now going into the May 5th primary? We've got Amy Acton and her police escapade from 2019. We've got Heather Hill losing her lieutenant governor candidate days before the primary. We've got Casey Putch and his accusations of him being anti-Semitic and racist and Cowboys and Indians video. We've got Vivek Ramaswamy dropping $25 million of his own money into ads. What do you make of this whole whoop-de-doo?
The truth of the matter is, until your show brought her to our attention, I had never heard of Heather Hill, and I have never heard of her outside of your show. I mean, so I
she's a bit of an obscure candidate.
I would say she's a greatly obscure candidate.
But she came to the forefront this week because
there you go. Because she had controversy.
She had There you go. That's why I always say, anytime you're involved in a controversy, your initial feeling is, oh, that's bad that they're saying that, but it gets you publicity.
Well, could be in the vein that there is no bad publicity because it brought her to the attention of people who didn't even know she existed.
Right, but I think what Heather Hill might be doing that is the only bad turn in publicity is making yourself the victim. I don't think... Now, Casey Putch got bad publicity last week in the whole rally being shut down because of the anti-Semitic remarks, but he did not make himself the victim. And I think that's different.
Well, and it's like you always say, you need to get out in front of it. And he did. He got out in front of it, and he addressed it. You know, like you said, we haven't heard word one from Amy on the subject.
Big mistake. Yeah. Big mistake. And Casey, for better or worse, got out ahead of it, and so did Stuart Moch yesterday morning. So they did what I think they needed to do. Now, will people believe what they say? That's for people to believe, but at least they got their statement on the record. Why Amy Acton doesn't do that, yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, that and, you know, they are, you know, occupying airtime as people discuss the situation, and therefore they're getting more publicity. You know, which in this case is a good thing because you say, never heard of Heather Hill, maybe I better go check her out. You know, never heard of Casey Putch. Maybe I better go check him out. You know, and so it helps.
What do you make of what McCulley had to say last week here in Marion about, hey, listen, you know, those we're seeing nationally with Amy Acton in the lead are tied up with us. Now, that's what our internal polls are saying. These are not fake polls, and we need to get out there.
Well, I wasn't at that event, so I only have it secondhand.
It's word for word. Trust me.
Right.
Word for word.
It's a bit of honesty. I imagine he didn't expect those words to go too far outside of the confines of where he was making it.
Well, now...
But there again, let me finish.
Oh, go. Well, I just want to point out, he should have.
But there again, he's speaking from the national and statewide pool, you know, and he's telling the truth. And, you know, they need to address it. And, you know, combat that in such ways that they can, you know, if they're going to get their message and their candidate across the finish line.
Well, let me just say, he should have expected it to go further than it did because it was his campaign that invited me to the event.
Yeah.
So they knew.
Yeah.
So I would, not like a big secret, I don't think.
But, you know, it's, you know, whenever you're in the race and you got a bad tire, you change it. And so here they've got a bad tire in the polling, and they need to change it.
Did you see Mary Ellen on NBC4?
Yes, I did.
What'd you make of that?
And all the little teasers coming into it as well.
Oh, what'd you make? Oh, there were teasers.
There were teasers.
I missed those because I was...
You have to watch constantly.
When were the teasers on?
Usually in the 5 o'clock hour block. You know,
During the week.
During the week and the less serious news.
So what were the teasers like?
Oh, they drop a little, you know, quote, you know, Mary Ellen saying something, you know, and then... For the full story of this, you know, Ohioan, please tune in at 10 o'clock Sunday, you know.
See, I got to start doing that.
Yeah. Well, tuning in?
Yeah. Well, did you notice what happened in the interview, though? Did you notice they got her age wrong?
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
But I don't know her age, so it didn't strike me as noteworthy at the time. Just like, you know, if I'm watching Chicago PD and I don't know who Adam looks like, it's not going to, oh, there's Adam.
There's Adam.
Oh, they got the age wrong. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't care what her age is.
Well, no, most people don't, but I think what is comedy about that is this has been an ongoing thing for years that they always print her age, no matter what. Even going back to the groundhog. I was mentioned in that article. Miss Ohio was mentioned in that article. Mary Ellen was mentioned in that article. The only person's age who they mentioned was Mary Ellen. Now, why?
I don't know.
What did age have to do with Groundhog Day?
It just must be something that is a lifelong affection.
They have done that to her for her whole career. I don't. You know, it's so people say, well, it's because somebody is past 80. Well, they did it before that. They've been doing that a long time.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
We should get one of your old yearbooks and see. And here's the Mary Ellen, age 14.
Yeah, that's right. Here, put one of the old high school pictures in there and see what happens. So who do you think's going to, I think it's a foregone conclusion, but who's going to win this primary?
Oh, well, as far as who gets the most votes, probably Vivek. But I think if Casey pulls up in the 20s, I would claim him to be the winner because he has overcome so many hurdles to get there.
If he's in the 20s, there's no way Vivek's becoming governor.
Yeah.
I'm not even... 10% is even a little... here becomes the problem. Okay, with the comments that Casey has made, if he can still pull 10% or better of the vote in this primary, there is absolutely a racism problem in this election, and there's nothing Vivek can do about that. It's just like if there was a misogynist problem, Amy can't do anything about that, but I haven't seen that problem yet.
Nope.
So what does, you can drop $50 million, it's not going to matter,
right?
I don't know. I never dreamed, maybe because the Republicans have controlled this state for so long, I never dreamed that this would be their hitch race. But people will tell you it's not, because nobody wants to say that.
No.
But do you think it is?
I think it is an unspoken hitch, as you would say, you know, that they have to, you know, address. When you look at, you know, the prior campaign against the Somalis and over there in Springfield and so forth, and the fact that the you know, put just saying, well, they're going to replace all you, you know, U.S. workers, you know, higher workers with Indians, you know.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of DeWine defending Acton?
There's a lot going on there, but certainly, you know, and I give him credit for standing up for his own decisions and not ducking that, but. You know, he's the one who made the decision. She might have recommended it here and there. I don't know. You know, going back, you know, if you go back to, you know, where you were during the COVID days, you might say, well, I don't want to go to the polls. I want a mail-in ballot. I want to do something different. You know, and there were a lot of things. You know, you go back to listen to the shows back then. People didn't want to wear masks, even in, you know, in line at the, you know, the drive-thru, you know, and things like that. You know, how many places were, you know, were anti-mask and so forth? You know, and was it good? Was it bad? No, but that was the circumstances at the time.
Well, and here's the thing. COVID, which we're not in right now, pandemic, her being a woman, Vivek not being a white man, or being a Hindu, or however you want to put it, what does any of this have to do with how they will be as a governor?
Because people like to impute their own thoughts and feelings to fill in the blank of what they don't know about the candidates. And, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I'm a good Catholic and I believe all this, you know, from the Pope on down. And you've got, you know, somebody here who's a Protestant, and you've got somebody here who is an Islam. And I don't understand, you know, these things, you know, and you will fill in the gaps with your own personal, you know, feelings and knowledge. It's like anything. If you start deciding something you don't know about, you're going to fill in the gaps with what you don't know.
So, Bob, are you going to go out and plant a tree today, Earth Day?
Actually, I am working with a group of Cub Scouts, and we're going to go out and clean a park.
There you go.
You know, after school, of course.
Happy Earth Day to you. Thanks for the Earth Day donuts.
Yes.
We'll enjoy those.
Share them with your staff.
I certainly will tonight. We'll have them in here tonight. It should be a lot of fun. And I'm glad we had the tipping conversation, and thanks to Adam. By the way, the DC the Foodie will be on the Adam Show today, and in the Computer Guy, 12:15 to 1 p.m., and then check out NBC tonight, 8 and 10 p.m. for possible appearance as an extra by Adam on their Chicago programs. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. Thank Casey Putch for coming on the show this morning. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's